Greetings. Welcome to the Papa Pank Podcast. I am Jaylene Clark Owens, and this is my friend and my co-host,
Justin Jane.
There's a lot of gray in the world. We think it needs a little more pank, a Papa Pank. We are Philly-based, multi-hyphenated, and award-winning actors taking on all things arts and culture in this joy-forward and ever-playful variety podcast. You are listening to one of our bonus episodes, which we like to call Pank Pop Facts. We will gradually release these older episodes until all live episodes are uploaded to this podcast platform. You are listening to our theme song composed by Jordan McCree, member of the band Ill Dukes. We welcome you, our Pank Papas, both old and new. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate y'all. With that, let's pop back to our May 19, 2021 episode.
It's gonna be May 19th. It's just so typically May 19th.
You're gonna love May
19th.
That was Dreamgirls. Did you know that that's my favorite movie?
I know. I want to direct you in a one-person Dreamgirls. That is true. I truly want that to happen. I think now that you've seen what I did with Tayshia, you're up to bat for Jaylene Clark Owens is Dreamgirls. I think it would rock. Everybody would watch that.
They wouldn't. I wouldn't watch that. I mean, I'd be thinking I'm putting on my own Dreamgirls performance when I watch the movie. That is...
That's someday.
Someday. Okay. Well, here we are in May.
19th.
Here we are in May 19th. So here we are in episode 36. We're 36 years old.
That's older than I am.
Is it? No. It's lying. It's older than me, though. But anyway, if you missed last week's episode, you missed history. You missed history because we had our first in-person episode. Justin and I were in the same area. I was able to just reach over and
and fuse arms.
And touch him. We were in the same place, and we were actually joined by Tayshia Marie Canales and Lindsay Smiling. We were actually at Tayshia's home. Tayshia is a 3-time Papa Pank featured artist. And we were joined by Lindsay Smiling, who that was his first time. And we talked all things Fat Ham and all things No Child. All things Fat Child, No Ham. It was a great episode. Thank you once again to Tayshia and her lovely husband, the Akeem Davis, for hosting us at their home last week. If you missed it, just go on back either here or on YouTube and watch that episode. It was amazing. Also, remember, Fat Ham, it closes this Sunday, so make sure you go watch Dad. Make sure you go watch Dad.
And we will talk about that coming up. It is May, and it is May 19, 2021. And as Mama Pat has pointed out, happy birthday, Malcolm X.
Yes.
But it is also Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Every year, this is an opportunity to pause and honor our Asian and Asian American Pacific Islander brothers and sisters and non-binary familia. It is also a chance to acknowledge that we can all learn more about Asian American Pacific Islander history, no matter who you are or what you identify as. Knowing history, especially histories outside of your own narrative, are the stuff of building bridges. Now, I still have an immense amount of education to do as an Asian American, and this is a lifelong process, but I suppose it might be good to give a brief education here for everybody that's Yay. Present about the term AAPI or AAAPI, as I was recently asked about it and what exactly are the differences here. So let me try to do a crash course on this term, which is American born. So the first three A's are sometimes reduced to two, but they stand for Asian and Asian American. The first being a signifier for folks who were born in Asia or are of Asian descent, but do not identify as American, though they may live in America. And the second is Asian American for those people who either immigrated here and have obtained citizenship or people who were born here and are of Asian descent, like yours truly. Now, Pacific Islander confuses a lot of folks sometimes, but it encompasses people both born in America and otherwise, but generally is an identifier for people whose origins come from Hawaii, Guam, Samoa, or other myriad islands in the Pacific Ocean. Now, here is your fun fact about Justin Jane for the day. Ready? Everybody, cuddle up by the fire. It was 90 degrees here in Philadelphia. Cuddle up by the fire. You just came back from Florida. I'm about to go to Florida. I identify as Filipino American, and I love to code switch between Asian American and Pacific Islander to keep people educated and asking more, and sometimes just to mess with idiotic people. But
hold on. So when you say you code switch, meaning what? Like you sometimes you say you're Asian American and sometimes you say you're Filipino American?
Yes, or sometimes I say I'm Pacific Islander. Sometimes I just say I'm Asian. Sometimes I say prefer not to answer. It depends on the form or what the waiting room is feeling like or who's asking. So I just love to shake it up and see what the situation will call for. Is this an education moment or is this a like, this person has no idea what the difference is here and I just want to mess with them? But Filipinos fall into a strange category, and depending on the history books or which Filipino you talk to, you will probably get a different response. And this is because before American occupation of the Philippine Islands, thank you very little colonization, Filipinos were known as Pacific Islanders. In fact, when Americans came to occupy the country in 1898, they called Filipinos the orphans of the Pacific. Now, since then, officially, the Philippine Islands are considered part of Southeast Asia after the 7,000 islands that make up the country. 7,000 islands.
7,000
islands that make up the country were united during Spanish rule. Now, all of that is to say claiming Asian or Pacific Islander are technically both correct for Filipinos, depending on how you want to frame history. Are you talking about before colonization? Or are you talking about after? And so saying both is actually correct. And that is your AAPI history lesson for today.
Yes, come on with the history lesson.
No, we got to keep learning. And now hopefully one of our 183 viewers right now from our live audience can go off and share that with the world whenever that comes up at a dinner party, because now we can have dinner parties.
Hello. Wow. That was a lot of learning for me. And learning usually makes me thirsty. I mean, I need a little drink. I think it's about that time. What you think?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Get your glass so we can clink.
It's time for that. Papa drank.
Papa drank.
Papa drank.
Papa drank.
Papa drank.
And
cheers. And cheers. Arriba, abajo, centro, pa dentro. Jingle Masakara.
Mabuhay. Especially Mabuhay today. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yum, yum, yum.
So what you got today for young pop?
I am drinking a rum lemonade or rum-inade, which is exactly what it sounds like, because I wanted to uplift rum as a liquor of us island people and citrus as a representation of exported fruits from places like the Philippines. So I'm just trying to stay on some AAPI brand here. But this is delicious and it's going to put me to sleep before the episode's over. What about you?
I guess I'm kind of sticking to the theme, or I have, this is orange mango peach juice, and it has a little bit of Malibu black coconut in it. So we're very tropical.
We are tropical. This brings us to Pank News. This is the segment where we talk about anything we're vibing on this week in the arts. And this could be anything from a theater show we've seen to pop culture events and visual arts. So, Jaylene, what have you been thinking about this week in arts and culture?
Broadway is reopening. Mm-hmm. So on September 14th, Wicked, Hamilton, and The Lion King.
Wow.
Are all opening. They're going to have staggered, it's going to be like a staggered opening night. So one will be at 7, one will be at 7:30, one will be at 8, so that the dignitaries and the journalists and stuff can attend all three. Although that seems logistically not great, because people are going to be, that means people are going to be getting up and leaving in the middle of the show, but we'll work it out. But yes, it's opening. We're coming back. Things are returning. And the article I was reading was talking about how the producer for Hamilton is saying that he wants to have everyone be vaccinated, like the cast, the backstage, and all of that. So, like, how do you feel about that? The mandate, like this whole like mandating that you get vaccinated in order to work.
I mean, I'm kind of all about that. I kind of want everyone in the world to be vaccinated. And I know for whatever reason, some people will not be, but there's that, you know, this is always changing too, but that magic number of 70%, like if 70% of our country is vaccinated, then we can really, really go back to like, everything being in person. So I'm just holding that number as arbitrary, like the trusting the scientists. So anything that gets us to that number is good in my books. If that means making sure all of your employees are vaccinated, I just don't know how they'll, I guess you have that card, but it's tricky. That's tricky territory. How do you feel?
I mean, I feel like, yes, I can see how that would, of course, be great. But at the same time, I understand that for folks who are just against getting the vaccine for whatever reason, you know, not trusting the government, because we know that they've messed up before when it comes to some medical things, especially with Black folk. So, you know, I get it. I definitely get it. So for those people who are hesitant, it would suck if like, okay, you really want to work, but you don't want to get this vaccine. But now, now you have to choose between doing what you feel comfortable with and working. Like, I can see how that could be tricky. That could be tricky. I know the thing I read said, I think Equity is going to be working on it. Like, I'm sure there has to be, there's some guidelines or whatever. Some colleges, a lot of colleges are saying, the students have to be vaccinated before they come. So is yours doing that?
I think so. And it's different with state schools versus private institutions and that kind of thing. But I mean, if you're signing up for it, you better be willing to abide by those rules.
We don't see. So that's what's happening in Pank News. Broadway is reopening September 14th. The West End in London, they just opened back up. It's happening slowly but surely. We're getting back.
Wow. What are the ticket prices going to be like?
Well, I think the priciest seat at Hamilton, for example, is going to be $549, which is down from $847 before the pandemic.
Of what course, a discount. Oh my God, what a discount. I'm going to run to go get my $549 ticket.
But that was the priciest. I did just happen to look like on a random Tuesday in October, and I saw seats as low as $149, which, yes, that's still a lot of money, but compared to when you could not get in Hamilton for like less than 500, when tickets were like 1,000, I'm like, okay, 149. All right.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I've got to agree with Mama Pat here, who's saying that is a crazy ticket price in our live audience. I kind of agree with that. It's like, oh yeah, that's a huge discount, but still, if you are a person who hasn't worked all pandemic or like money's been tight, that even that $150 ticket is tricky. Now, I could pay $150 if they did like, what were the ones getting opened again? There was like Hamilton, Wicked, and Lion. If they did like Wicked, Lionton.
Yep.
Yeah. If they just combined all three shows and I got to see all three at once, then I will pay $150 for that.
If they did a like reduced price, even just if it was just one night a week, like I know a lot of people would come. Like imagine if they just did a night of $50 tickets for Hamilton.
Yes.
It would be packed. Now, you know, the coronavirus and everything, but people will risk it all for $50 Hamilton tickets. I know, like people will be up in there, but I also understand like these things have been closed. They have money back.
I also have questions about if these big producers and Broadway theaters have read in detail the We See You White American Theater letter, which did address a little bit of like, this is such an elite industry. Why can't not normal people or people who don't have this much money to spend, can we focus a little bit on accessibility? I don't know. We'll see, and time will tell.
Time will tell. And they're talking about making the weeks, the amount of shows fewer, because you know Broadway's usually 8 shows a week, and there have been talks of some shows making it like maybe 6 shows a week or 5 shows.
Ooh, but I'm all about
still giving the same salary or something like that. So they're discussing things. They're discussing things. We shall see.
They our industry is things. Okay.
So, news.
My Pank News is on last Monday on Good Morning America published an inspiration list of who is making Asian American Pacific Islander history in 2021. Yeah. Now, Good Morning America and ABC News both teamed up and asked influential Asian American and Pacific Islander leaders, celebrities, intellectuals, entrepreneurs, athletes, and more to nominate fellow community members for the list. So this list is like a double whammy for those who don't even know any of the nominators. But I just wanted to uplift 3 of the names on the list. And since this is an arts and culture podcast, I think it is fitting to cite some of the theater artists on this list or actors. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of names are on this list and some big names are. So I also wanted to zoom into some personal ones. Jaylene is sharing for our live audience some of the folks from this. But I wanted to, again, hundreds and hundreds. You can scroll through. There's beautiful pictures of a lot of these actors. But David Louie, who is a San Francisco reporter, nominated Malik Pancholi, who's an author, actor, activist, addressing bullying against AAPI children, and especially those identifying as LGBTQ youth. And he just did a rally yesterday for that. But I'm citing Malik because we did a reading together at Interact Theater Company. And he's an actor that I've met, such a sweet person. So uplifting him. The second one I want to call out is Lila Ladner, who's an actor on Disney Junior. Nominated Jamila Jamil, who's an actor and activist from The Good Place. So Jamila Jamil is also on that list. And I'm going to throw in personally Manny Jacinto, who's on there playing Jason, who's another Filipino-American actor. Now, I hope Jason and Manny and Jamila are making your heart flutter as much as they do for me. Jaylene, have you seen any of The Good Place? Okay, everybody.
Well, my husband, Lawrence, he watches it or watched it because it's over now, right?
Yes, it is over now.
He has watched some of it. So I've seen little bits, but I haven't like sat down and watched the episode.
Oh, well, let me tell you, there is plenty of Asian American Pacific Islander beauty and talent happening on that screen. And I'm telling you, if you want to see two of the most beautiful people in the world, Jamila Jamil and Manny Jacinto, are there. The last like pairing I wanted to uplift from that list is Courtney Reed, who's a Broadway actor who originated Jasmine on Broadway, in Aladdin, nominated Lauren Yee, who's the playwright of Cambodian Rock Band and The Great Leap. The Great Leap was the show that I won a Barrymore for here in Philadelphia, but she's also just like an amazing playwright. And it was really nice to meet her virtually. And I can't wait to see or someday be in Cambodian Rock Band.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was so uplifting to see these faces and the names. And Jaylene, if you have that picture, can you share just the picture from the main banner of that? But hopefully these names and faces will become household names just as much as any other non-Asian American Pacific Islander person is. So there's a beautiful, beautiful list, and the images are all also amazing. This one just makes my heart warm so much, this the history one. All of these people are history makers right now making work. And if you don't know any of their faces, just do me a favor and go and look at this list and try to remember one or two folks from here. So if this was Philly and I was nominating somebody, I would be nominating the actress Annie Fang. Now, there's a lot of amazing young Asian American Pacific Islander artists in this community, but Annie and I have done a few shows together. We were together in Man of God at Interact, and then I just directed her for 1812 Productions. So Annie Fang is my nomination.
Yes.
Anyway, all of this AAPI joy has me feeling all kinds of tickle pink.
Welcome to Tickle Pang. So Tickle Pang is a part of our show where we usually talk about something that has recently been bringing us joy and is a bit of a catch up for Justin and I. So Justin, what has you Tickle Pang these days?
Okay, I want to just say I binged and finished The Circle season 2, which had its finale a couple Wednesdays ago. And since it is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, I do want to shout out the contestant Savannah, who is a beautiful Filipino-Mexican goddess. Wait, so are you watching this show yet?
I have watched it, but I started late. So I came in right around the time that...
No spoilers.
Right around the time when someone left the show. I'll tell you after.
Okay, gotcha.
But I was I guess halfway in. So I watched it to the end. I know who won, all the things.
Because I actually think it would be fun to see you on that show.
You keep saying this.
But I'd be curious. I'd want to see you get in there and win. Win us all that money, and then Papa Pank goes on, or we go in the circle together.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm also getting Tickle Pank by No Child, which is the show that Tayshia Marie Canales starred in by Nalaja Sun, and I directed. That closed a week ago and was received with such positive reviews and feedback. I rewatched it the day before it closed and cried my eyes out. And lastly, I'll get to this later in the episode, but I opened a video game musical that I directed called Overgrown, and I will talk about that later. So, Jaylene, what has you tickled pink?
Okay, so I'm going to do a bit of screen sharing here. So, excuse me, one thing that had me tickled pink, I went like mini viral.
Yes.
For a video I put on TikTok. I'm going to try to play it now.
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day. Are you a mom?
Yes. Thank you. I'm a godmother. My baby is 4 going on 34. You know what I'm talking about. You a mother, right?
Yeah, single mom at that.
Girl, I completely understand. My baby's godfather left her life very early on, so it's just been me all these years out here grinding, being a single godmom.
Wow, so you have custody?
Oh, no. She lives in Brooklyn with her mom and dad. I live in Philly with my husband, but I get the struggle, sis. Happy Mother's Day to us.
So that is the video.
Yeah. Now, what made you make that? Why? Who, what, when, where, why, how?
Okay.
And sometimes why?
I just was thinking about it. It was about to be Mother's Day, and you know, I don't have any children, but I am a godmother. I'm a, you know, an auntie to my little my goddaughter and my little nieces and nephews out there. And so I just had that thought of someone saying this and being like, yeah, I understand the struggle of being a single mother, because I'm a godmother. I'm a single mom. And I just thought that was funny. So I put that on there on TikTok, and it now has over 100,000 views, yes, which is crazy. But it was just fun. I'd be laughing at my own self.
I love that TikTok has made people feel comfortable with sketch comedy writing, which is, yes, what you just did. And I want more.
True.
I can't wait for the Father's Day one that you do. You have to be working on it right now.
I'm not a father, though.
Yeah, but you could be in drag.
Oh my gosh.
I would love that.
We'll see what I do for Father's Day.
Okay, what else did you do that has you tackle pank?
Well, I went on my first trip of the year. I went to Florida.
Yeah.
Yes, so I went to your home state. Mm-hmm. I was just so happy, the weather. I visited my mother-in-law. Shout out to her. I don't know that she's watching. I haven't seen her in the comments. Maybe she's, I'm sure she is tired. We did a lot of stuff while we were in Florida. I went to the beach twice. I ate so much food.
Yeah, that's what you do in Florida.
But I was very tickled pink as I was eating. I had, there was Mexican food several times. I ate so much ice cream. It's ridiculous. Pizza. And I went, have you been to a seafood boil restaurant before?
Yes, just on the table.
I have footage.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes.
Actually, I'll show that first. Let's see. This is from when I went to Red Crab. Let me see. Where are we?
I got to tell you a story while you're looking for that in Florida. So there's a lot of like all-you-can-eat seafood places in Florida. And no joke, my family walked in there. We sat for like 3 or 4 hours, and as we were leaving, they ran out. They ran out of the all you can eat, and I think my family single-handedly did it.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I can't imagine all you can eat seafood, because I was pretty full on this. So, for those who are listening, make sure you go ahead and after you listen on our podcast, go ahead and watch the live version on YouTube or Facebook. So what I'm showing here is a photo of me ready. I got on my bib. I've got my fork and knife. I didn't have on my gloves. I should have put on the gloves for the photo, but I had
winter gloves. You love wearing winter gloves when you eat seafood.
No, my plastic gloves. So this is the deliciousness. We have sausage and 2 boiled eggs, some corn, and king crab legs and shrimp.
My mouth is watering. My mouth is literally watering.
Look, this was some of the king crab. Look, that's a piece. Look at that. Did you see that?
Yeah, just rubbing it in the juice.
Rubbing it in the sauce. It was absolutely amazing. I want to go to more seafood boils. And then this is a little video I made of a compilation of me going from Philly to the beach.
She's looking for it.
Wait, is it play?
Nope. But I am, just so that the peg papas out there know, I am going to Florida tomorrow.
Oh my goodness.
To go see my nephew's graduation from high school. So that's very, very exciting. And I'm gonna try to eat all the things you ate.
Here we go.
Yes.
By calling my name, I'm going to the streets. This summer, I'm going to the streets. The streets are calling my name. I'm going to the streets. The streets are calling my name. I'm going to the streets. The streets. The streets. Hello. Hi. I'm going to the streets. The streets are calling my name.
Wow. That's a gorgeous bathing suit. And
oh, thank you, Ofure.
All right, Ofure.
So yes, I am this summer, I'm going to the streets. I will be outside. I have to use up all my travel credits from last year that I did not get to use. So I'm gonna be out there.
Yes.
I'm gonna be out there, and that has me so very tickle pink. I think we're gonna move on to our next segment, which is Hot Topic.
Hot Topic is the part of our show where we highlight either myself or Jaylene as we bring to the episode something that we are passionate about in relation to the theme of that day. So Jaylene, take it away.
So you know, recently on my Instagram, I've been talking about choosing joy and whatnot. So today, sticking with the theme of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, I would like to know what's bringing you joy, but with an AAPI focus. So basically, Tickled Pink Asian Heritage Month edition. So what is bringing you joy, Justin?
Okay, so for all of our friends in Philadelphia and those visiting, you want to, some restaurants have been having me tickle pink, and they're opening up slowly but surely. And there are three main restaurants that I want everybody to know about. The first is Nam Phong at 11th and Washington. Have you ever been to Nam Phong, Jaylene?
No.
This is
how
a Vietnamese.
Spell that.
Namphong? Question mark.
Okay.
And this is a Vietnamese restaurant, and it is so delicious that I go back there. It's like some pre-pandemic. It was like one of those places I went to every other week, just like trying to get as much food. Massive menu, delicious foods, family style. And speaking of family style, then there's also Penang, which is Malaysian food, and that's in the in Chinatown at 10th and Arch. Have you been there?
No.
Jaylene, I got to take you places.
Oh.
And the last one is Dim Sum Garden, which is, you've been to Dim Sum Garden. Now,
yes.
Soup dumplings are where it's at. It's, I still don't know how to eat them correctly, but those places all give me a lot of joy. And I hope everybody listening can also share in that joy. The other thing that's been tickling me pink is Come to Papa is that's Philadelphia Asian performing artists. So that's different than Papa Pink. Their Philadelphia Asian performing artists is having an event called Come to Papa from June 10th through 20th. And this is like a big festival of new works and is a nice way to celebrate and showcase Philadelphia AAPI talent. So I'm very, very excited about that.
Come to Papa. You may remember we had members from Papa on our show.
Yes!
Yeah, so definitely make sure you support Come to Papa. That's such a cool name.
And the last thing that's sort of tickling me pink is that I'm going to go to Florida and spend time with my family and celebrate. And, you know, there will probably be some big Filipino traditions of eating kind of like your seafood boil. My parents love to get tons of crab and mix it with like ground beef. And then you just like serve it all on rice and it's just never ending. And your fingers smell, everything smell. Everybody's just like sucking on food. You know, the food is good when nobody's talking and all you hear is just in the,
what?
In the legs. Yeah.
Crab mixed with beef and.
Yeah. And it's in all kinds of sauces and things and put it on rice and all you just go to town. Yeah, that's going to bring me joy. But speaking of joy, there's one of our in-studio live audience members, Mama Pat, was talking about the thing that's bringing her joy, tickling Mama Pat pink, is that your niece was accepted to college on a full ride, Florida State University. Mama Pat, my nephew is going to Florida State University in the fall. My nephew. We're going to talk as a freshman. So that's really, really exciting.
That's okay. Awesome. Well, they'll be there at the same time, same class. Well, you might see Mom and Pat. Y'all can go to the graduation in 4 years.
There we go.
There you go. And I will come along as well. And we will have your family make us the crab sauce.
I want you to come and visit my hometown. For real, for real.
What part is that again?
Winter Haven. Different than Winter Park, Winter Garden, Winter Springs. Winter Haven.
Winter Haven, Florida. Such an oxymoron. Okay. Okay. So for my next question for you. So previously we talked about your career as a Filipino American artist and some of the challenges you face in terms of the availability of roles that are for AAPI actors and the types of roles that are available. So one of the ways that I see you combating this is by creating your own work and your own opportunities where you get to bring your full authentic self, whether that's performing or being more behind the scenes. You continue to do this with your theater company, with Berserkers, Berserker Residence, and you recently put on your director hat, as we mentioned, at the Arden with No Child. So I hear that you mentioned you have another production coming up that you directed. So tell us about this, how you created your own opportunities. Like, you really out here,
yes,
AAPI directors. Let us know.
Yes. We need more Asian American Pacific Islander directors in Philadelphia and the world at large. But the piece that I just directed at the University of the Arts is called Overgrown. Overgrown. It is, okay, get this. It is a musical video game role-playing adventure, choose-your-own-adventure, rhythm-based video game. Okay, that's a lot. It's about like a 3.5 to 4 hour game. So you want to play it like a video game, open it on your browser, and then play a little bit and go away and play a little bit and go away. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but choose wisely. There's a lot of choices, and the rhythm games are also really fun. Let me see if I can pull up and share maybe a little bit of this. I don't know if it's going to work, so we'll see. If you're listening on the podcast, I am pulling up the Overgrown website, which is overgrownmusical.com. I think you're only seeing a partial of this screen. Is that true?
Yes.
Well, you'll get a little bit of it if I play it. Just anyway, this best served on a desktop or on a laptop and with headphones so you can hear the music. So go to Overgrown by Jado Israel. She is a UArt student that is graduating right now, going to be an up-and-coming voice. I highly recommend everybody go look at her Insta. She is also a drag queen in Philadelphia and goes by the name Avery Goodname. So you might, both of those names might be big names someday. But Overgrown.
When does it end?
What?
When does it end?
It's actually like up indefinitely until the like domain expires, which might be like for a year. So it's going to be up for a while. I'm going to keep plugging it. And whenever I'm in that unemployed state, I'm going to be like, I still can do things and I'll play my video game.
I love that. So make sure y'all go check that out.
Yes.
Okay. For my penultimate question.
Yes.
Penultimate is my favorite word, by the way. I want to talk about the very necessary movement to stop Asian hate. So since the pandemic, as many of us know, there has been a sharp increase in attacks on members of the AAPI community, like the spa shootings in Georgia back in March was just one of many attacks that we've recently seen. So what are some of the ways we can encourage our Pink Papas to support the AAPI community?
Yeah, well, Pink Papas out there, if you're listening, there's many, many resources out there, but I would like to cite one that's just from PBS. So what's being put out there for the public. And they published, I'm going to go ahead and share this. If that's, you got this. They have published What You Can Do to Fight Violence and Racism Against Asian Americans. This resource was put out just a few weeks ago in light of all of the violence. And so it's just 8 really simple things that I'd love to unpack. So you can, of course, read this on your own time. And again, this is at pbs.org. But one of the first things they have is to support the immediate needs of AAPI folks on the ground. So by supporting organizations, all of these things, again, are just more about racial justice and how you can help any group. So these really permeate not only to this community, but to others. And I highly support that. Look up organizations. And what's tricky sometimes out there, folks, is you need to really do your research and see which organizations are doing sort of grassroots works, and which ones unfortunately might be tethered to something a little maybe more for profit rather than for helping folks out. Mm-hmm. So really do your due diligence when you're doing that. So the second one is speak out if you witness a hate crime or I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing this on that screen, so I'm going to do it over here. Yes. Speak out if you witness a hate crime or incident. And I think that's, you know, goes without saying that see something, say something, no matter what it is. If you think it's like a microaggression or something small, say something that can go so far. The third one is report the hate crime or incident. Now, I guess this one's tricky for me. How do you feel about this one, Jaylene? I'm curious.
To report an incident that you see?
Yeah, like who do you report that to? How do you report that?
Oh, I see. I guess it depends on who's around. Like, is it something, like if it's a microaggression, I feel like if you're in like a community setting, like, or if this is a classroom, then maybe speaking to, you know, the professor or just speaking to that person or speaking to some type of higher up that is in charge of whatever group setting you're in. But of course, if it's like a violence that you see outside, then I would think probably alerting the authorities, like the
police
or something, especially if people are in danger or someone has been hurt.
I think that's totally it. It's like, don't go right to 911 if the situation feels like it can be managed and there's somebody immediate that can help you. So the next one is consider taking part in a training about hate. I think that about hate part is a little bit misleading. I think consider taking part in a training of any kind, just whatever you need to do. There are tons of trainings out there that will meet you wherever you need to be. And luckily in today's age, there's a lot of trainings happening in workplaces, especially like ours at the Wilma. Now this next one is check in with your Asian American peers. So this one's tricky for me. I actually feel a little bit different, like, about this. What does checking in mean? Because I don't know if you've experienced this, Jaylene, but like this sudden like onslaught of text messages from people who are acquaintances or like business colleagues, that kind of thing. It's just like, oh, you would never say hi to me any other time. So it just feels a little bit awkward. Mm-hmm. I think I'm trying to like find a way to be like, I see your intent and I appreciate it, but it's not, that doesn't help.
Yeah.
No, unless it's like a very close friend who's like, yo, all this stuff. Like if you were like, how do you feel? I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. But when it's like somebody, you know, 10 times removed, I'm a little like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this particular missive.
Do you feel like it's not genuine?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's performative.
What do you think would be a good, like, analogous thing for folks to do that is of the same kind of intent, I guess?
I'm not sure. I mean, even if you're just sending good thoughts, hey, I was thinking about you, no need to respond, I'm just sending you some love, let me know anything, or something like that. Not putting it to, so how are you doing? What's going on? What do you feel about all of this? Like, that may be a lot. Everybody doesn't want to rehash it. Especially if y'all haven't talked in a long time.
Yeah.
I think leaving it at a point where it's something you can say something and you're not making the person feel obligated to now respond.
Yeah.
So thoughts, and it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I think that's right. And doing that, doing all those other things first, educating yourself first and seeing what organizations you can help before you do that other reach out, I think is important. Yeah, it's that like expectation of a reply or like that feels weird sometimes. Yeah, I've had people be like, what do you need? And I'm like, you don't know. You've never asked me what I needed. So yeah, that one's a little bit of an interesting one, but the intent, I think, is the right thing. Mm-hmm. Learn about the history of Asian American discrimination. I think that goes without saying, and that's something we talked about at the top of the episode. Just learn your history, not only of Asian America, but also all kinds of America, of all different people. I think we can't get enough education for each other. The last two are advocate for awareness in your workplace. So that's a huge one, actually, that I feel a lot in theater, especially when I'm in a theater and I'm the only AAPI person in there. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to know when somebody else has my back that I'm not the only one speaking out for myself. And the last one is reach out to your elected officials. That one is always like, does that work? But it does, I think. But yeah, those are 8 simple and easy resources from pbs.org to help with the Stop Asian Hate movement.
Yes, thank you. Woo. Thank you for sharing that with us, Justin. And I hope that our pink papas out there take those words to heart and do your part. Look at, we already in the freestyle. Okay, so my last question, what is your dream acting role in which you get to live your full Filipino-American authentic self? It can be a role that already exists that you've been, you know, wishing to play, or it could be something that's yet to be created.
It's probably not yet to be created. It's probably already been created, but I think, so there's a labor movement organizer from the 1960s. His name was Larry Itliong, Larry Itliong, Itliong, who was the inspiration for Cesar Chavez, who was also a union organizer, who people know that name more. But before Cesar was Larry, who led the Delano grape strike. And that single strike changed the game for immigrant and for migrant farm workers, as we know it today. That never happened. We might still be in a kind of slave labor that was just like out in the open. He was really a revolutionary and radicalizing and calling attention to that. So what happened in the 60s is he organized all the migrant worker farm workers to have a grape strike. So none of the groceries had grapes. And then suddenly all of America was like, oh, maybe this is something I should pay attention to. And then the government changed. And so, and he's Filipino, and I'm like really excited about bringing him back into the world. So somebody out there needs to write that, because I'm not a playwright. And any of our listeners, please go write that for me.
I love that. I would love to see you in that role.
We're here now at our Pank Forecast. So we're going to check in about anything upcoming that we're excited about with our Pank Forecast.
Pank Forecast.
Yeah. Still a little bit like Hot Pockets.
you're hearing that. You're not hearing my down note. Anyway, okay. So we've got Fat Ham. Once again, it is closing this Sunday, May 23rd. So make sure you go ahead and stream that. WilmaTheater.org/event/fat-ham.
Okay. What else? And then one more time, I just want to plug my UART show, Overgrown by Jado Israel. It's a digital online musical, choose your own adventure, RPG, rhythm-based video game experience. Go play it. Tell me what you think. And I hope it'll be unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Awesome. So we got some games before we get up out of here.
I know. Let's just do 6-course meal. Are you ready? Because this is a new one, Jaylen. You haven't played this one. And our Pank Papas out there don't know this one. So we're going to just do a quick Pank game. And this is called 6-course meal. So I'm very excited about it. It's exactly what it sounds like. There's going to be an appetizer, which I will be in charge of. Jaylen will be in charge of a soup and salad. I will be in charge of a 1st course entree. Jaylen will be 2nd course entree. I'll do dessert. And then Jaylen will do an after dinner drink. Now, the goal of this is you can't plan it, Jaylen, but it's just going to happen. You're going to grab the closest item, unique item you can think, and present it. So I'll go first. So thank you so much for joining us. So for your 1st course, we have this appetizer, which is a pair of black glasses with a glass frame. Now, these are best enjoyed one at a time. A lot of people like to eat it all in one bite, but I recommend that you just eat one part of the frame, then the other part of the frame, lick the glasses, and then enjoy this with your wine. So enjoy. Up next is my fellow waiter, Jaylene, with your soup and salad.
So for today's soup and salad, we had a toe cover. And normally you want to use this to put on your toe so that when you're running, your nail doesn't fall off. But for our soup and salad today, what you might want to do is you can turn it inside out and you can probably like inside and then turn it outside again. And then you can probably put it on your thumb and like a corn. So that's something that you can do. And now it's actually stuck on my thumb and I can't get it off. There we go. And so that is what we have for our soup and salad.
So for your first course entree, I have a little rubber pasta, just one piece of pasta, who has a Golden Girl rose nylon on it. Now, this is, because the rose is on it, we do have a rose sauce that goes with this, and it's also enjoyed in one bite. Thank you so much. In your second course?
For the second course, what we have, what do we have? For the second course, we have a bonnet, so kind of like a Scotch bonnet. Scotch bonnet is a hot pepper. This is a hair bonnet, so it's not as spicy. It has a very mild flavor. And what you want to do is like put it on your head, and then that really allows the flavors to seep down. And then you can like tie it like this. And what that does is it really keeps your mouth close so that when you chew, you know, you're not like, hang, hang, hang. It's really tight so you can get better bites.
That is delicious. That is the most delicious thing I've ever heard. And after that experience of a meal, you're now primed to really enjoy your dessert here, which is a Venetian mask. So this Venetian mask was handmade in Italy, who knows when, but after being so saturated all over with the juices from your previous course, you will simply just want to cover your face. So you just cover your face and nobody has to see you again. And then you just look super creepy and you can just go, "Hi, I'm dessert. What shall we eat today?" So thank you so much for coming to our restaurant. Jaylene, do you want to take us home with your after-dinner drink?
Yes. So for your after-dinner drink, you have your Barrymore. And as you can see, there are bubbles. It's a bit of a bubbly drink. As you can see there, the bubbles go up just like that. And so when you go like this, this part is actually filled with liquid.
Oh,
it's blue because it's more like a bluish greenish. It's like kind of like the ocean, like a tropical water. And so it has like a salt water taste actually when you drink it. And then on the bottom, the wood part, it gives a really smoky, almost like mezcal. It's a really smoky texture. So you just go ahead and you drink that and you can use that for your Papa drink.
Thank you so much. That's a delicious meal.
That was such a crazy game. I have never played that before, guys.
Well, you did really good. You know, Jaylene says, and we all change. We're changing. We're in the middle of a change.
You're about to say a lie. Go ahead.
I know. Jaylene says that she's not good at improv. But
the thing is it gives me anxiety. It activates anxiety within
It activates anxiety in everybody, and that's the joy of it.
But you're very good at it and it doesn't faze you. You it's
were
very
you,
effortless.
Were you panicking just then?
Sure, yes.
Oh well, nobody can tell. Nobody can tell. That's why she drinks her Barrymores at night. Oh man. Okay, well. we're here at the closing of our episode. What is our next episode,
Jamie? Our next episode, Pink Papas, June 2nd at 9 p.m. So not, is that, yeah, so not next week, but the week after that, June 2nd will be our first episode in June. And so tune in.
And here we are. While we're talking about improv, now we're going to improv in a place that Jaylene isn't as anxious about, but makes me want to poop my pants.
I'm still anxious here, but go ahead.
This is the Pink Freestyle, where we simply get a category, we give each other a category, and we have to freestyle our way out of it.
Your category is food, since we've been talking about food.
My soul is hungry, looking for some joy. We're all about the pandemic, but boy, oh boy, that needle's in our arm. We're walking out the door. We're going to the restaurants and we are saying we want more. Okay. Your word. We were just talking about food. This word came up earlier in the episode, but tropical.
Tropical.
Summer's coming.
Yes. So here we are. We're talking about vacations. So I'm being real topical. I'm about to be out in these streets. Can't wait to go someplace tropical. Next month, it's gonna be June. I can't wait because I'm gonna be up in Cancun.
Yes! Whoa, that was really good. And that's also true.
It is true.
You were really just spitting your truth. Wow.
I can't wait. Bravo. All right. Well, that's it. We're at the end. So, Justin, give us a proverb about.
Okay, for those, while Jaylene's thinking of this, I can't do proverbs or sayings or idioms at all. Like, my brain just doesn't understand them, and I get them wrong all the time.
Since we've been talking about being your authentic self, a proverb about being true to you.
Oh, yeah. That's like from that movie. Be true to your heart or else you won't fart. Be true to your heart or else you won't fart.
Words of wisdom.
Hey, it's taken 36 episodes to get the word fart in here.
There I think you go.
The first time. If you would like to help our podcast out as we still are getting launched here, donate to us on Papa Pank, on Cash App, $ Papa Pank, or PayPal, paypal.me/PayPal, or email us at papapank@gmail.com.
We thank you. We thank you so much. And thank you to Tracy, our studio editor. Thank you for joining us. And with that, we are gonna end the episode. Oogie!
Bye!